Hey, folks, I have to start off our Bible study today with, first of all, a confession and an apology. You know, as we've been taking our time to go through and to study the miracles of the Messiah, one thing that happened to me was it snuck up on me. And most of us know that tomorrow we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. So I want to ask your forgiveness as I take this particular Bible study moment to talk a little bit more about Thanksgiving. And even though if you took that Bible passage I gave you for last week, hold on to that, because next week we will look at that. I'll remind you of what that passage is again here at the end of our Bible study. But the biggest thing today I want us to look at is a grateful heart. Now, you know, I know Thanksgiving rolls around and you know, it's a reminder to us of all the things that we need to be thankful for. But my question is this: is it just that once a year on Thanksgiving that you pause to remember these things, or can you truly say that you live with a heart of gratitude? Well, today, in just a few moments, we're actually going to look at scriptures in God's Word out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, dealing with a heart of gratitude. So grab that Bible, come on back. I'll see you in just a minute. Hey, folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Man, I hope your day has gone really, really well and that you are preparing. Most of us are probably going to be spending a lot of time in the kitchen, either preparing Thanksgiving meal for tomorrow or sampling all the goodies before they actually hit the table on Thanksgiving Day. And that's perfectly all right. But I want to thank you for taking this time to spend with us for the Wednesday Bible study. So, yeah, tomorrow, as we gather to celebrate Thanksgiving, it is essential for us to reflect on the true meaning of gratitude. I mean, think about it. It's actually in the name, Thanksgiving. See, Thanksgiving is more than just a holiday. Yeah, it's a lifestyle that God calls each and every one of us to embrace. Now, today, we're going to explore what the Bible says about having a grateful heart. I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So I hope and pray you've got your Bible out there with you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, specifically verses 16 through 18, and they read as follows. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time today. Our Father, as we come to you now, once again, we ask that you would speak to us. Lord, may your Holy Spirit be prevalent in our time that we spend together today. Father, I pray that you will truly help us to determine whether or not we have a lifestyle of thanksgiving to you, or whether it's just something that we exercise in the moment. And Father, if not, I pray that you will help us to adjust to the biblical way of viewing thanksgiving. So, Father, speak to our hearts as only you can. As your messenger, I ask that you would give me the words to say that your people need to hear today. And, Lord, we'll be careful to praise you and thank you for it as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we take a moment to look at those particular scriptures, there's three things I want us to gander from these, or glean, that's probably a better word, glean from these particular passages today. And the first thing is that there is a command to give thanks, not a suggestion, but a command. You see, the Apostle Paul instructs us to give thanks in everything. That's a big word, everything. This means that gratitude should not depend on our circumstances. Now, if you have spent any time around Central Baptist Church or around me, for years, you have heard me really, really pound this point home about circumstantial faith. What is circumstantial faith? Circumstantial faith means that how we feel about God or how we feel about situations depends on the circumstance or the situation. Thus, we call it circumstantial faith. And what does that mean? That means that when the day is going good and the day is going well, it's easy to praise the Lord. But when the tough times come, and folks, they do come. You and I both know that. When those tough times come, you know, sometimes we find it harder to have a heart of gratitude toward the Father. Sometimes we find it more difficult to be the thankful person, particularly when it comes to those types of circumstances and situations. So remember, we don't want to have circumstantial faith, okay? So whether it's in times of joy or trial, we are to maintain a thankful heart because it aligns us with God's will. You know, we can't sit back all the time and say, you know, well this is exactly what I know. I've said to many, many folks, I would love to be able to go to the Lord and say, well, Lord, how is it that you want me to handle this? What do you want me to do for this? Which obviously we can. And I want to hear that audible voice. You know, I want to go off in a closet somewhere and I want God to sit back and speak to me just like I'm speaking to you right now. Well, it doesn't happen that way, but God does speak to us through prayer. God speaks to us through His Word. God speaks to us through godly people in our lives and godly messengers that are in our lives. So He is speaking to us. But we've got to be careful to listen, and we've got to be careful to make application. So when we think about this particular point, when we think about gratitude, and we think about not having circumstantial faith, I want you to consider the story of Job. Now, most of us know that. If we've spent any time in Sunday school or vacation Bible school or in church, this has been a story or a sermon that we've heard over and over again. So I want you to consider the story of Job. Now, despite losing everything, and I mean pretty much all at once, you know, Job fell to the ground and he said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." If you want a reference for that, that's Job chapter 1, verse 21. So as those things happen in our lives, this is devastating. Job, remember, Job lost his family, Job lost his home, Job lost his wealth, he lost his lifestyle, and he even lost his health. Remember, he was the one that was covered with boils from head to toe. So, I mean, all of a sudden, this guy went from having everything to having nothing. Now, if that's you, and some of you that are listening today, you may have been in that type of circumstance or situation in your life. And when you were you truly able to look and say, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." No, most of the time, what we're doing is we're sitting there going, "Lord, why me? You know, why all of a sudden am I in this situation? I've been having a good prayer time. I've been having good Bible study. I've been trying to walk with you. Why am I in this circumstance or situation?" And that's normally what we like to ask. But see, Job's story teaches us that gratitude is a choice. It is not a feeling. It is not an emotion, or it shouldn't be. Oftentimes, that's what we make it. But gratitude is a choice. Are you going to choose today and every day to have a heart of gratitude, to have a heart of thanksgiving? Remember, one of the things I love to say about Thanksgiving is simply this. It shouldn't be just a one day of the year holiday. It should be a lifestyle with us. So when we hear this point and when we know this point in our lives, you know, we can practice gratitude by starting each day with a prayer of thanks. Listen, man, when you roll up, if you open your eyes and you have a chance to see that alarm clock or look out that window to check the weather or whatever it may be, one of your first prayers of the day ought to be, "Lord, thank you for getting me up today. Lord, thank you that I have vision by which to be able to see. Lord, thank you for the fact that I got out of bed on two legs and I was able to walk. Lord, thank you for the fact that maybe it's a little chilly outside. Thank you, Lord, that there's heat in the home. Thank you, Father, that there's food on the table and shoes on my feet. Thank you, Father, for the family that I have that loves me." Man, we could sit back and start counting our blessings. And I'm a little bit old school in this. I love that old hymn called "Count Your Blessings." Many of you know that. "Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." But see, what happens is too often we start looking at what we don't have rather than what we do have. But in our daily lives, listen, start to make it a practice if you're not already by giving thanks with a prayer before you even get out of bed. Even when challenges arise, you know, we can remind ourselves of God's faithfulness, and we can choose to thank Him for His presence, and we can choose to thank Him for His provision, because all those good things come from the Father. Okay? The second thing I want us to see out of our passage of Scripture today is the power of gratitude. You see, gratitude has the power to transform our perspective. When we focus on the blessings in our lives, we shift our attention from what we lack to what we have. this is not not only brings joy, but it also strengthens our faith. Now, remember what I said just a moment ago, when you start to count those blessings, all of a sudden you realize that you've got this tremendous list. You know, one of the things that the Lord has always reminded me of is, particularly when I get to that point where I start to focus on what I don't have, or when I start to put my attention on something that I'm lacking. You know, one of the biggest things the Lord has done in my life is He has let me look around me and see what others don't have. I think that's one of the greatest lessons that I ever learned from being on the mission field. For lack of saying it any better way, how spoiled we are here in America. You know, when you go to a place that the power is off more than it's on, when you go to a place where food is critical, there's not leftovers. In fact, you're blessed if you have something on the table to eat, and it may simply be a tomato rather than a ribeye steak. Yeah, I mean, you know, when you begin to see those things, you begin to realize what you really have and how blessed you are and how God has taken care of you. But remember what happens. You know, how does it transform us? It can change our perspective. You know, let me ask you as you head into Thanksgiving 2025, you know, are you focused on the blessings in your lives, or are you focused on the things you don't have? Okay. Now, when you begin to focus on, you know, the blessings and the provision that God has placed in your life, this not only brings joy, but it also gives, it strengthens our faith. And we sit back and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for what you've done in my life, what you've done in my family, for the way that you take care of me. Thanks be to God. Now, I'm reminded as we think about this point of a passage in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, particularly verses 6 and 7, where Paul writes this. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You see, folks, the bottom line is gratitude is a key to unlocking God's peace in our hearts. Did you get that? Gratitude, thankfulness, thanksgiving is a key to unlocking God's peace in our hearts. Okay? So as we think about that second point, how is it that we can make application to that in our lives? Well, one of the things that we can do is we can make it a habit to keep a gratitude journal. Now, I know that some of y'all are out there, you're a lot like I am. You're like, man, I'm not going to write that stuff down. Well, you know what? Here's a good chance for you to either get a start on that. There's a reason I'm asking you to do that. You know, because each day, if you can take that journal, take your telephone, go to the notes section and write it down. But each day, write down three things that you are thankful for. Okay, so what's the point in this? This practice will help you to cultivate a heart of gratitude and experience God's peace more profoundly than you ever have in your life. Now, some of us who are not going to, some of you sat back and said, I'm not doing that, man. I'm not going to get a journal. I'm not going to write that stuff down. I'm not going to type in my phone. Yeah, for whatever reason you don't want to do that, that's fine. But make it a habit in your life to at least confess to yourself three things that you were thankful for. You know, I'd like to say that if you could do that in the morning and in the evening. When you get up, think about three things that you are grateful for. Now, somebody may say, well, you know, that's kind of difficult. What do you mean by that? Well, you know what? I mentioned some things a little while ago. Hey, I got up and I could see. You know what? I might have to put on a pair of glasses or put in a set of contact lenses, but hey, thanks be to God, I can see. I'm not blind. Thank you, Lord, for giving me legs to walk on. Thank you for giving me hot water to take a shower in. There's so many things that we can thank God for. And then I would say that you do that at the end of the day and give thanks to God for the things that He has done in your life through that particular day. Even if you're not going to write it down, that's fine, but at least think about it. At least consider those things and purpose to do that, because it will truly change your perspective. Okay? See, Thanksgiving, you know, as we think about it, you know, tomorrow, Thanksgiving is not just an event. And too often that's what we do. And by the way, listen, I'm not against Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. It's a time for families to be able to get together. It's a time to take that break from work and spend time with loved ones. It's a time to gather around good food. And I said this one time and a fellow said, yeah, a time to sin because we all turn into gluttons on Thanksgiving. Well, hopefully that's not you. But it's that time to be able to get together. But the thing about it is, it's not just an event. Thanksgiving, in the essence of Thanksgiving, should be a way of life for God's children. The book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." See, our actions and our words should reflect a heart of gratitude toward the Master. I was thinking about the fact that Jesus, before feeding the 5,000, gave thanks for the loaves and the fishes. If you want to, you can check that out in John chapter 6, verse 11. I also think about the fact that at communion, when you have communion, if your pastor or if you're reading that particular section goes verbatim by the scripture, it says that on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks. And he broke it. We see that when he took when he began to feed the 5,000, he took those loaves and fish and he gave thanks. Okay? His example shows us that gratitude should precede even our smallest action, transforming those actions into acts of worship. Even the smallest thing. Now, a lot of us, we will sit back and we're getting ready to have a meal, whether lunch, dinner, breakfast, whatever it may be. And we will sit back and we will return thanks or we will say grace. I'm going to ask you to do something for me as you do this. I want you to be present in that prayer. Now, a lot of you are sitting there scratching your head going, what are you talking about? See, I think oftentimes what happens is we find ourselves in vain repetition. And here's your litmus test. I've shared this around Central Baptist before. I said, here's your litmus test. When you're halfway through with your meal, have you ever had somebody look and say, did we say the blessing before we started eating? Let me make you a promise. If that's the case, you weren't present during that blessing. Even if you were the one who said it, sometimes you're not present. Sometimes it becomes vain repetition. I like what an older preacher one time said. He said, it won't become vain repetition if you've ever been hungry. When you sit down and you truly realize that the meal you're about to partake in has been blessed and provided by God Almighty, oh man, all of a sudden your prayer takes on a whole different context. So be present in those prayers, and even those smallest actions will turn into acts of worship, okay? So as we interact with others, let our words and our actions be filled with thanksgiving. Whether we're at work, whether we're at home, or whether we're in our community, let gratitude be evident in how we treat other people and how we carry out our responsibilities. You know what? Just a word of gratitude goes a long way. Even if you're in a situation, I've always said before, if I'm in a restaurant, I realize that there are times, just had this happen a couple of days ago, when I was in a restaurant and literally, I don't know what was going on. The kitchen was backed up. The servers were doing the best they could. But there were people. I watched four or five different tables full of people get up and leave. But I'll tell you something that made all the difference in the world to me was that there was a couple and their children that were sitting behind us. And they had someplace they had to be. And they only had a few minutes to get there. Their food had not arrived yet, even though they had ordered. And they're like, hey, listen, they told the waitress, we're sorry, but we have to leave. We've got a place that we have to be in 15 minutes. And the waitress was very, very apologetic to them. This is what I love. I love what this family did. The guy said, listen, it's not your fault. We understand that. And she said, I'm not going to charge you for the drinks or anything else. But that man said, listen, I still want to give you a tip because it wasn't your fault and you were doing everything you could. Let me tell you something, that really made that waitress's day. She was so thankful for their understanding. Even when she brought our food out to us after an incredibly long wait, she apologized repeatedly. And you know what we said? We said, hey, listen, that's all right. We know it's not your fault. You're doing the best you can. And I said, it looks like you know, that there's some struggles that are going on right now. Being kind and being thankful means everything, and it can actually change how people feel themselves and how they treat you. So my question is, are we treating others, whether we're at home, work, restaurant, whatever it may be, are we allowing our gratitude to be evident in how we treat other people and how we carry out our responsibilities? Remember what that scripture said, everything that we do, we should do it with all of our heart as unto the Lord. Can we say we're doing that? So as we think about these things, as we're heading into Thanksgiving tomorrow, I hope and pray that you will take these scriptures, that you will meditate on them, that you will take these points, that you will meditate on them, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart about some things that you can do, maybe some adjustments that need to be made in your particular life. Now remember, that's not up to me, that's up to the Lord. I am simply the messenger, but the Holy Spirit is the one that speaks to your heart. So tomorrow, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, let's remember that gratitude is a very powerful force that can transform not only our lives, but the lives of those around us. Now, by choosing to give thanks in all circumstances, man, I'll tell you one thing, I can spend a lot of time on that. I didn't say in some circumstances. I didn't say in just the good circumstances. But by choosing to give thanks in all circumstances, we align ourselves with God's will. We align ourselves to a point where we can experience His peace, and then we can live lives that will glorify Him. I hope and pray that you will take that challenge up. In fact, I really hope it's not much of a challenge. I hope and pray that that is something that you do on a daily basis even now, that you sit back and say, you know what? God, we say that this around our church all the time. God is good. And then the response is generally all the time. Now, some of y'all watching probably already said that before I mentioned what phrase generally follows. And I mean that with all of my heart. Even on the bad days, can we sit back and say, Lord, you know what? This is going to be costly. This is not going to, this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt the bank account. This is going to hurt whatever. But Lord, you're good to us. I like what a fellow said. I heard a fellow say one time when one of his parishioners was talking about the fact, he said, every time it seems like I get a little bit ahead. In fact, this was like at a financial peace university thing, with Dave Ramsey. And the guy said, every time it seems like I make a little progress, every time it seems like I, start to get ahead on my emergency fund or something, he says, something comes along and takes it away. Either I got to replace the HVAC in the house, or I've got to put a new roof on, we have to redo the floor. Something has happened and has taken up my emergency fund. And I love what the speaker said to him, because he said, the one guy said, well, maybe God doesn't want me to get ahead. And the speaker said, no, God certainly wants you to get ahead. But he said, what you're failing to see is that you were ahead. God provided you the money so that you could pay for the new roof. God provided so that you could take care of that new HVAC system. You didn't have to go out and get a loan that you were going to pay for the rest of your life. Yeah, your fund looks a little different now than it used to, but you ought to be grateful to God for the fact that it was there to take care of the situation. So folks, thankfulness, first of all, is a choice, but it's also a perspective. What is your perspective on Thanksgiving? It should be a lifestyle that you and I live every day, not something that we have to try to pull ourselves once a year to be able to do. So I hope and trust and pray that the Holy Spirit has given you some tips on that today, and that you're going to begin to put these things in practice to become a lifestyle every day in your life. So thank you for taking the time to join us today. I mentioned as we started our Bible study series that Thanksgiving kind of snuck up on me. I didn't want our Wednesday Bible study to go without having a Thanksgiving theme this year. So I mentioned the scripture that I gave you for last week is the one that we're actually going to use for this coming week, okay? So what I want you to do is spend a little bit of time in Luke's Gospel chapter 17. And next week, we're going to discuss the cleansing of the 10 leopards, which is the 28th sermon in our series on the miracles of the Messiah, and we're kind of getting close to the end of that, and we're going to start up another series probably around the first part of the year. But spend a little time in Luke chapter 17, specifically verses 11 through 19, the cleansing of the 10 lepers, and that's where we're going to be next week when we gather for our Wednesday Bible study, and I look forward to seeing you here. How about letting me have a word of prayer with you as we dismiss our time together today? Father, as we come to you, we thank you, truly thank you for the many, many blessings that you have bestowed upon each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that you will help us to cultivate hearts of gratitude regardless of our circumstances. And Lord, I know that sometimes that's difficult to do, but through your help, through your power, and through a change in our heart, we can do this. Lord, help us to truly be grateful children of the King. Lord, may our lives reflect your goodness. May our lives reflect your grace as we give thanks in all things, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, listen, thank you for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that you have a wonderful, wonderful time gathering with friends and family tomorrow to celebrate Thanksgiving. As always, we would like to invite you to join us for in-person services on Sunday mornings at 10:45 Central Baptist Church. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you're familiar with that area, we're right across Highway 68 from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. We also have, of course, our Wednesday night Bible study. A lot of you have joined us in that fashion. We also do we live stream our Sunday morning services. So there's all kinds of ways that you can become involved with us. You can check us out. If you happen to show up in person, I'd love for you to take that moment to introduce yourself to me and say, hey, look, I've been watching you on the Bible studies. I wanted to come by and see you in person. And I also want to let you know we do have other discipleship opportunities. We have Sunday school classes. We have discipleship groups for men and women. We've got Awana for children. So we've got places where you can become actively involved in your walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So listen, folks, I pray that you have a great rest of your week. Happy Thanksgiving. I'll see you next week.